I'm Stephen Clark, Group CEO, and you all know Robert, our Group CFO and COO. He'll take you through the numbers in a minute. I'll then come back up and review both businesses, and then we shall take your questions. But before that, I'll give you a quick introduction. And I'm pleased to tell you that we've had another strong first half across the group. Total sales were up 4%, with like-for-likes up 2%. Profit before tax was up 10%, with EPS up 11%, and the interim dividend also up 11%. And the distinct strategies for each of our businesses continue to deliver. In travel, we've seen good like-for-like sales growth in our UK business, helped by the improvement in passenger numbers, but also driven by our key initiatives to drive profitable sales. This is particularly pleasing as it comes on top of good like-for-like sales growth in the first half of last year. Meanwhile, internationally, we continue to win new business while making progress with growing our sales and profits. And our high street business is in good shape. Like-for-like sales for the half are flat, the best sales performance for many years, and we continue to deliver on our cost savings and grow the margin. And in both travel and high street, we're investing in new opportunities and evolving our customer proposition to help deliver future growth. Now, as always, value creation for shareholders remains central to our plans. And so we continue to focus on profitable growth, cash generation, and optimal use of cash while investing for the future. And given our markets, we continue to manage the business tightly. So I'll hand over now to Robert, who'll take you through the numbers.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everybody. Let's start off with the group financial summary. The group has produced a strong performance in the six-month period to the end of February, with both travel and high street performing well. Total group revenue was £633 million, up 4% on last year, with total group like-for-likes up 2%. Profit from trading operations at £88 million was up £6 million, a 7% increase compared to last year, with headline profit before tax increasing by £7 million to £80 million, a 10% increase. Headline earnings per share increased by 11%, reflecting the increase in the group's profits and a lower weighted average number of shares in issue as a result of the return of cash to shareholders. We expect the full-year average weighted number of shares to be around 115 million. The effective tax rate was 17%, in line with last year. And we expect the full-year effective tax rate to also be 17%, reflecting the lower statutory rate combined with agreement of prior year open items. Free cash flow generated in the period was 58 million, compared to 55 million last year, and I'll come on and talk about the cash flow in more detail later. The board has declared an interim dividend of 13.4 pence per share, an increase of 11%, which reflects the good business performance, our strong cash generation, and our confidence in the future prospects of the business. As usual, we expect to have the interim dividend accounting for around one-third of the total dividend for the year. So let's start off with revenue. Overall group sales were 633 million, an increase of 4% year on year, with like-for-like sales up 2%. Total travel sales were up 11% on last year at 263 million, driven by new space and like-for-like sales, which were up 5%. UK air, rail and hospitals all showed like-for-like growth. As you can see in the lower table on this slide, travel now starts to annualise against the tougher comparables from the second half of last year. In High Street, like-for-like sales were flat, while total sales were down 1%, reflecting the impact of changes in space. This first half performance was driven by the five-week Christmas trading period to the 2nd of January, when like-for-like sales in High Street were up 2%. So looking by category, in stationery, like-for-likes were up 5%, with a good performance from new product development and successful promotions, including in a number of our seasonal categories. Books like-for-likes were down 1%. Market performance continues to vary by category, and we saw a strong performance from colour therapy titles. News and impulse like-for-likes were up 1%, We've seen a good performance from our continued focus on food to go, which was offset by a sales decline in magazines. Books and News and Impulse saw an increase in gross margin compared to last year, and the gross margin in stationery was in line with last year. So turning now to the group profit before tax. Travel has produced another good performance, with profits up £3 million, a 9% increase on last year. Profit growth has been achieved through sales growth, margin growth of around 30 basis points driven by mix, and good cost control. High Street profits are up £3 million to £53 million. Here, profit growth has come from margin improvements of around 90 basis points and cost savings of £5 million in this half. This was £2 million less than originally planned, as we actively decided to reinvest the variable cost savings to ensure service and availability were maintained. We expect the second half cost savings to be in line with the original plan at £4 million, therefore making cost savings for the full year of £9 million. So profit from trading operations at £88 million was a 7% increase on the previous year. Central costs were in line with last year, with both finance costs and pension interest costs lower than last year. We expect pension finance costs to be around £1 million for the full year. So let's look at profit from trading operations in a bit more detail. With sales increasing by 4% and total gross margin increasing by 50 basis points, gross contribution for the group increased by £16 million to £366 million. Travel achieved a margin increase of around 30 basis points driven by mix, and in High Street, margin increased by around 90 basis points through category mix management, representing around 40% of the increase, with buying, sourcing, promotional, and markdown management being the balance. We expect further margin growth in both businesses in the second half. In terms of costs in trading operations, as we continue to grow travel, the group sees an increase in costs. This reflects the higher rents being based on turnover, new stores in both the U.K. and internationally, and our continued investment in service and stores. In High Street, we continue to identify cost savings as part of our cost efficiency program. For example, in the half, we saw savings from rent at the end of a lease and from our in-store operating model following investment in technology. Across both businesses and all cost lines, we remain focused on cost efficiency and cost management. The cost base in High Street remains substantial at around £325 million, and we continue to see opportunities for further cost savings. So let's look now at the cash flow. We've delivered a strong free cash flow of £58 million in the period. Non-cash charges from depreciation and share-based payment charges were £4 million higher than last year at £26 million. Working capital cash outflows were £16 million. The majority of this reflects the seasonality of our business, as well as investment in new stores, both in the U.K. and internationally. As last year, we expect most of the working capital outflow to reverse in the second half. Payments relating to employers' payroll tax following the exercise of the 2012 SIP and LTIPs were £2 million compared to £1 million last year as a result of the higher share price. We spent £21 million on CapEx in the period, the same as last year. We expect the full year CapEx spend to be slightly higher than last year at around £40 million. And in the period, the net corporation tax paid was £9 million, broadly the same as last year. So turning to the net position, the group continues to have a strong cash position with cash of £9 million after the £23 million of share buyback. In addition to the £58 million of free cash flow generated, the group has seen a net cash outflow in relation to non-trading operations, which include last year's final dividend of £31 million and net ESOP trust purchases of £6 million. Pension deficit funding of £1 million compares to £3 million in last half year and reflects the revised schedule of contributions agreed with the trustees in August 2015. As expected, during the half, we returned a £13 million payment on account to HMRC. We'd received this in 2010, relating to an historic commercial structure, which is still subject to final resolution. And at the end of February, we'd returned £23 million to shareholders, of which £18 million relates to the up to £50 million buyback announced in October 2015. So at the end of February, the group had net cash of £9 million. We continue to see the cash generative nature of High Street and Travel as one of the group's strengths and anticipate full year free cash flow generation to be around £100 million with net cash of around £10 million. And so to the balance sheet. We have a strong balance sheet with total net assets of £161 million, £14 million higher than at last year end. This reflects the cash generation of the business, further CapEx investment, the movement in working capital I've already described, and the return of cash to shareholders. The pension liability remains at £5 million, the same as at the end of August 2015. And so let's look now at the return of cash to shareholders. In the context of our strong balance sheet and high levels of cash generation, we continue to utilise our cash effectively. Investing in the business and new opportunities, we expect to spend CapEx of around £40 million this year, making appropriate low-risk acquisitions, and at the same time, we have a consistent record of growing dividends and returning cash as part of our long-term strategy to create value for shareholders. We continue with our previously outlined progressive dividend policy, with the interim dividend increasing by 11%. So through a combination of ordinary dividends, buybacks, and a special dividend, we've returned £737 million to shareholders since the 2007 financial year. And since 2006, we've retired 38% of our equity. And so finally, to recap, here are the group key indicators, most of which I've touched on already, but let me just mention fixed charges cover, which is unchanged at 1.8 times. We expect this to be 1.6 times at the full year, in line with the previous year, the higher cover at the half year reflecting the seasonality of profits, and return on capital employed after capitalised lease costs, which has increased to 15% at the half year. Steve will now discuss the operational performance.
Thank you, Robert. Right, I'll start with Travel. And Travel delivered another strong performance with total sales up 11% and like-for-like sales up 5%. This is our best first half performance for many years, reflecting our continued investment in the business and growth in passenger numbers. Profit was up 9% to £35 million. As usual, we worked hard at managing our costs and margins. As Robert mentioned, gross margin was up 30 basis points, driven mainly by category mix management. Now, as you know, we've made significant investments in our travel business over the past 3 years in store environment, staff training, and customer service. We believe this investment has been a key driver of our like-for-like sales performance, where we're now seeing strong growth on what was good growth last year. In addition, we continue to invest in new stores, both here in the UK and overseas, where we've made further progress during the half as we won another 17 new units. I'll come on to the details of that in the international bit, but first let's look at channel performance. And in UK air, total sales were up 6%, with like-for-likes also up 6%. This like-for-like sales growth reflects the impact of our growth initiatives and better passenger numbers. Performance continues to vary by location, with some of the regional airports now performing very strongly. In rail, total sales were up 6%, with like-for-likes up 5%. And this comes on top of good growth in rail for last year, and while it reflects the improvements in the broader economic environment, it's also driven by our active category mix shift away from reading materials and, in particular, into food-to-go ranges and digital. And as an heir, the performance here also varies by location, with many of the regional stations in rail also performing very strongly. In our hospital channel, total sales were up 23%, with like-for-likes up 5%. Now, total growth reflects 11 new stores which have opened over the past 12 months, including a further 2 M&S Simply Food stores which opened during the first half. Like-for-like improvements again reflect the impact of our growth initiatives, again particularly focused on food and drinks in hospitals. And in our international channel, total sales were up 40%, with like-for-likes up 9%, like-for-likes driven by a strong performance in Qatar as we anniversaried the first few months of the new airport opening. And of course, as you all know, as sales and passenger numbers grow, so do our variable costs, particularly rent. So let's look at the UK in a bit more detail. And in our UK business, we continue to invest to drive growth and position ourselves well for the future. This investment falls into 4 key areas: improved store environment and fabric, more staff in our busiest stores and improved customer service to drive throughput in our busiest periods, format development and space management in existing stores, and new stores. So with regards to the first 2, feedback from both landlords and customers has been very positive. Many of our landlords in air and rail conduct frequent checks on us. They do mystery shops and they have lots of customer surveys. And we're now achieving some of the best ever scores, which reflects this investment. And we continue to make good progress with format development and space management. Now, travel space, as I always tell you, is very expensive, it's complex to manage, and how we use it varies substantially by channel and location. We have a very good understanding of the space and category elasticities for every metre drop in every store and how that changes over time. As a result, our ongoing programme of optimising our space by location has delivered significant changes to the product mix and customer offer tailored to each individual trading unit. We continue to make these changes twice a year, as this helps us both grow our sales per passenger and drive margin mix improvements. In the first half, this has resulted in extended food-to-go ranges and a much more extensive digital range in many of our locations. And we've also begun a couple of interesting trials, with a store-in-store headphone shop in Victoria Station and a standalone digital shop in Liverpool Airport. And you can see on the slide there the shopping shop in Victoria Station. So going on to another new trial in hospitals and regional rail. Now, many of you may not know this, but we have 17 WH Smith cafes in hospitals around the country. As part of our broader store investment programme, we've started to trial a new format and brand called Coffee House in 5 of these WH Smith cafes. The results have been very good, and we now plan to convert them all to Coffee House. Now, whilst this gives us an opportunity in hospital cafes, what may be more interesting is we've been conducting a trial of a Coffee House counter within the existing WH Smith shops in 4 locations, including Liverpool's Women's Hospital and Carlisle Railway Station. As we look at further optimising our space, our research with customers shows that where a takeaway coffee offer is limited in the rest of the station or the hospital, there's potential for us to do it ourselves within the existing WH Smith store, helping us optimise the space in these locations. In all of the trial stores, we've seen good uplifts, and so we plan to extend the trial into several more regional rail and hospital WH Smith stores. Of course, any further rollout will always be dependent on landlord consent, but we'll keep you updated on this at the prelims in October. So that's it for UK travel. Moving on to international. Our international business is still relatively small, but it is profitable and growing fast. The WH Smith brand and offer continued to be well received by both customers and landlords. And where we open new stores, sales per passenger continue to outperform previous incumbents. Total sales for the half internationally were £35 million. This is up 40% versus last year, driven by our new stores in Sydney International Airport. Like-for-like sales were up 9%, and as I said earlier, this was helped by the relatively quiet months following the opening of the new airport in Qatar. Profit for the half was £3 million, a growth of £1 million on last year. During the half, we opened 21 units, including more units in Sydney International, Terminal 1, and 2 units in Perth Airport, further strengthening our business in Australia. We also won during the half 17 additional units, including for us 2 important tender wins in Alicante and Dusseldorf, which I'll come on to in a second, giving us a total of 217 units won, with 181 open overseas. So going on to Europe. And given its proximity and its size, Europe ought to be a good territory for WH Smith. We've had some good success in Scandinavia and in Dublin, but beyond that, the very strong international and local incumbents has meant further progress has been constrained. However, during the half, we've had success with 2 European tenders. The first win was for 2 stores in Alicante Airport, which gives us our first presence in the very important Spanish market. Both stores are airside and will open during this month. The second win was for 5 landside stores in Dusseldorf Airport. Now, in Dusseldorf, most of the retail offer and shopping is landside, so this represents a good first step into the German market for us. These stores will open early 2017. Now, both Alicante and Dusseldorf will be directly run by WH Smith. Now, you'll remember I told you in October that we just opened our new landside store in Sydney. Well, just to give you a quick update, here's a picture of our latest airside store, which opened in Sydney just a few weeks ago. Now, the WH Smith stores in Sydney set a new benchmark for news, books and convenience stores in premium airports. The landlord is very impressed with the new design and customers have responded very favourably. And so far, the new stores in Sydney are trading well. So finally on international, looking ahead. And as we've said before, the international market is huge and continues to grow. WH Smith is still a very small player in this market, but we are profitable and growing fast. And while it will require some investment in the near term, there's great potential for us to continue growing into the longer term. Our experience to date is that our brand, customer offer and ability to drive sales per passenger are attractive to overseas landlords. We'll continue to focus on and build critical mass in our emerging hubs while ensuring we go for all sensible opportunities to further grow our profits internationally. And as you know, it's impossible to predict how many tenders will come onto the market each year, but we expect to win between 20 to 30 tenders in an average year well into the long term. And we'll continue to use the 3 operating models, always selecting the one that gives us the best outcome for a particular territory or format. So that's it for travel. Let's move on to High Street. And in our High Street business, we delivered another good performance with flat like-for-like sales and profit up 6% to £53 million. Our strategy of effectively managing our space and assets continues to produce strong cash generation and sustainable profits. Gross margin was well managed, up 90 basis points. And we continue to drive good results from our cost savings. So, we continue to demonstrate our ability to deliver by effectively managing our mixed space and assets, tight cost control, and active margin management. And we expect this to continue. And while it's good having better sales, in this case driven by a very strong 5-week period over Christmas and a good performance from seasonal categories, The strategy which has served us well over the years remains unchanged. So let's look at that in a bit more detail. I'll begin with the usual margin and cost slides, and then I'll move on to some category and wider initiatives. So margin. And as usual, we've worked hard managing the margin, delivering a margin improvement of 90 basis points in the half. As in previous years, the biggest contributor to this margin improvement continues to be category mix management, both across categories but also within categories, as a result of our active space management. Again, as in previous years, additional margin improvement has come from several other areas. Better trading terms and Far East sourcing, improved markdown management in stationery, more effective promotional investment in books, and a reduction in shrinkage across all categories. And we still see more opportunities to drive margin growth going forward in all these areas. On to costs. And as the shape of our high street business changes, we continue to identify sustainable cost efficiency initiatives whilst also adjusting our variable costs to sales. Now, given the better than forecasted sales, as Robert said, we actively decided to reinvest the variable cost savings to ensure that service and availability were maintained. As a result, we delivered savings of £5 million in the half. Our target of £4 million for the second half remains unchanged. And as usual, these savings come from initiatives in all parts of the business, the big ones being rent savings at lease renewal, our more efficient stores operating model through greater use of new technology, and improvements in DC productivity through investment in equipment and technology. Now, even with years of savings, again, as Robert said earlier, the high street cost base is still very substantial, so we continue to build a healthy pipeline of trials for further initiatives, particularly investing in technology to drive further efficiencies in the store's operating model. And as usual, we'll update you with our three-year forward guidance in October. So moving on to category performance and starting with stationery. We've had a good half on stationery in the high street, with many of our initiatives driving good like-for-like sales growth. As you know, in the high street, we reset our stores at least twice a year to optimise the return on every metre drop in every store. Stationery has been the main beneficiary from the space changes in the half, with more space in many stores, but also better quality space towards the front of store. This additional space, combined with strong promotional offers and our increased focus on design, fashion, and product quality, has helped us deliver a very strong performance in stationery during the half. These range improvements were a key driver of our seasonal performance, with single Christmas cards, box cards, wrap, diaries, pens, decorations, all showing good year-on-year sales growth. And throughout the half, much of the extra space has been used for our stationery Brights initiative. Now, you'll remember I said back in October that we were having some success with new ranges and an improved store presentation that we call Stationery Brights. Customers continue to react positively, and as a result, there is now a Brights format in 118 of our biggest stores, and you can see on the slide what this looks like in White City here in London. Now, Brights has been one of the drivers of our good sales in stationery throughout the half, and we expect to further extend this into more stores during the second half. So going on to books. And in books, the general retail market continues to stabilise. However, as we've always said, the quality of publishing is the biggest driver of market performance, and in the half, colour therapy books have been a key driver of our sales. And not just colour therapy. The phenomenon has now extended into extreme dot-to-dot and quirkles. And for the lucky ones among you here, you will have a copy of each on your chair. But do remember, it was around May of last year when we started doing the big numbers in colour therapy, so we now have that to anniversary. With e-books, penetration is still showing no growth at present, and therefore the quality of publishing will continue to shape the overall retail market. Our approach to the books business is to build on our areas of relative strength and drive the overall net profitability of the category. For example, we're very strong in books for kids and young adults, and we've just signed up Zoe Sugg, more commonly known by her YouTube username Zoella, to head a new and exclusive book club for WH Smith, targeting young adult readers. Now, for those of you not familiar with Zoella, and I suspect there's at least one or two, she's one of the most popular vloggers on YouTube with around 10 million followers. And just to put that into context, BBC News has 6 million followers and Jamie Oliver's FoodTube has 2 million followers. So she really is a big deal amongst her target audience. And so the Zoella Book Club, alongside the Richard and Judy Book Club, gives us a fantastic new initiative to help strengthen our recommendation credentials, which is key for WH Smith book customers. Going on to Funky. And as you know, Funky Pigeon is our online business selling personalised greetings cards and gifts, which continues to be a growing market here in the UK with attractive economics. During the half, we continued to see good growth from funkypigeon.com with strong performances over the key events of Christmas and Valentine's Day. As a consequence, we saw good profit growth driven by further range development in areas such as cushions, personalised cushions, and flowers. As we continue to invest, particularly in the customer experience and in mobile and apps, as we're seeing increasing levels of traffic from mobile devices and improvement in conversion from these devices. So going on then to one of our trials in the high street, Card Market. As you all know, we opened 30 Card Market trial stores over the past 15 months. I'm going to say what I've said for the last few times. Sales are still building. And as we highlighted in October, performance continues to vary by store. Now, we had a good Christmas in Card Market with strong like-for-like sales growth. However, to be frank, to justify a bigger rollout, we still require a significant sales build. So we're not planning any further rollout at this stage, although we will continue to operate the existing 30 stores. And this might change in the future. As I say, sales are still building, and once we see where that final build comes to an end, we may take a different view. And if we do, you guys will be the first to know. So moving on then to WH Smith Local. And we've made some more progress with WH Smith Local. We now have 105 franchisees signed and 60 stores open. Now, whilst some of these stores have only been converted very recently, we're still seeing consistently good results across all of them, delivering incremental profit for all of the franchisees. Our experience to date, however, is that signing up new franchisees takes a lot of time, but we still see good long-term potential. So that is where we will continue to put our focus and resource this year. And at this stage, it is still difficult to predict the ultimate number, but we'll continue to update you as we make further progress. So finally on High Street, an update on our post office business. And as you know, we've run a number of post offices in our High Street stores for nearly 10 years now. As of today, we currently operate 107 of these as franchises in some of our biggest stores. Now, over the past couple of months, we've been in discussions with the post office as part of their network transformation plans for further post office relocations. The outcome of that process has been for WH Smith to secure up to a further 61 post offices. Around half of these we'll operate as franchises like we do in the current 107, and the remainder will be run by the post office themselves under a concession arrangement in our stores. Now, we expect to open the new post offices over the next 12 months or so. The contract for the new 61 stores will last for 10 years, taking us up to 2026. Now, I know you will like me to, but I can't go into too much detail on the commercials of the post office deal. But I will tell you that we will incur a CapEx spend of around £4 to £5 million, and most of that will fall into the first half of the next financial year. Now, these new agreements further demonstrate the strength of our partnership with the Post Office, and while they are not necessarily helpful for sales in the store in which they open, because they take a lot of selling space out, what they do is provide a better and more sustainable financial outcome for all of these stores going forward. So that's it for High Street. Let me give you a summary, and then you can ask us your questions. We've had a very good first half. Our strategy has been and continues to be very effective in creating value for shareholders. Good like-for-like sales growth in travel has come on top of good growth last year, and our UK business has further opportunities to grow as we continue to invest and actively manage our space. In addition, our international business is profitable and growing fast. Our successful High Street strategy remains unchanged. We continue to deliver on our margin growth and cost savings with more to go, and our new 10-year agreement with the Post Office will help make our profits sustainable into the longer term. Group profit before tax is up 10%, EPS is up 11%, the group continues to be cash generative, and we're also increasing the interim dividend by 11%, which further demonstrates the board's confidence in the future prospects of the business.